A Second Class Risk by R.D. Wingfield, with Geoffrey Matthews as John Crisp. A Second Class Risk.
It's no good. There's no one in.
I'll give them a chance to get out of bed.
Fred, I should be with a cold like this.
Yeah. What did I tell you?
Who is it?
Police.
Police? What is it? What's happened?
Mrs. Beaumont. Mrs. Anne Beaumont.
Yes?
Sorry to bother you so late at night, Mrs. Beaumont, but is your husband in?
My husband? No, he's away. On business.
I see. Did he take his car with him?
Why, yes.
A light blue sports car, registration RGY215F.
That's right.
Could we come in for a moment, Mrs. Beaumont?
Why?
Because I'm afraid we've got some bad news for you. Some very bad news. There's been an accident.
My husband?
I'm afraid so.
Is he hurt?
He's dead, Mrs. Beaumont.
Mrs. Beaumont?
Thank you.
Bob?
Ta. Is there a neighbor or anyone we can get in to stay with you, Mrs. Beaumont?
No. No, I'll be all right, thank you. Tell me what happened.
We don't know exactly. There were no witnesses. But it looks as if he tried to take the bent too fast. He ran off the road and crashed down an embankment.
Where have they taken him?
Penfield Mortuary. It's best if you don't see him, Mrs. Beaumont. The car burst into flames when it crashed. There's very little left of anything by the time our chaps got there.
He would have died instantly, though. There's no doubt about that.
What we would like you to do, though, if you feel up to it, is to formally identify some articles we found on the body.
Yes, of course.
We'll send a car for you about 11 o'clock, if that's convenient. Well, there's nothing more we can do now. You fit, Bob?
Yes. We'll be on our way then, Mrs. Beaumont. Are you sure you're...
Yes. I shall be fine. Thank you for telling me.
We'll see ourselves out. Good night, Mrs. Beaumont.
Good night.
Good night, ma'am.
Hello. The police have just left. They've found him.
Claims office, Jordan here. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, our check went off last night. You should get it this morning. My pleasure. Bye.
Morning, Jordan.
Oh. Never expected you in today, old boy. How are you? You look haggard and drawn.
I feel haggard and drawn. Suppose you've had coffee.
Oh, yes, hours ago. Happy knowing you were going to honour us, albeit belatedly, with your presence.
All right. Aspirins are going down?
Well, if we eat them like salted peanuts, it's not surprising.
Much been happening?
Mr. Burkett's been screaming for your reports.
Well, he's had the three I've done.
I think it's the ones you haven't done that are causing concern.
Yes. I've fallen a bit behind. Can't concentrate.
I'd try and catch up if you can, old son. He's not been entirely complimentary. Come in. Ah, sexy Sarah of the Secretariat. Can't make violent love to you at the moment, Sarah. I'm doing expenses.
Mr. Burkett wants to see you right away, Mr. Jordan.
Me? Right away? Who does he think he is? Just to show him he can't browbeat me, I shall gallop to his office on the double and lick his boots. I'll let him know you're back, old son, in case you think you're sending a get-well card.
Thanks.
Hello, John.
Hi, Sal.
How are you feeling?
So-so.
Did you go to the doctor?
Well, I've been to doctors before. They can't do anything for migraine. They just prescribe pills and aspirin seem to have the same effect. Sorry I couldn't make it last week.
It's all right.
Just felt wrong. I was thinking of popping round tonight.
Sorry, John. Not tonight.
Why not? What's up?
Well, nothing's up. It's just that my mother's staying with me for a few days.
Oh, see. Excuse me. Crisp?
I want to see you in 5 minutes.
Yes, Mr. Burkitt. If he ever said please, I'd collapse. See you later, Sal.
Come in. Ah, Chris, had a nice holiday.
Haven't been on holiday, sir. I've been on sick leave.
Yes, you have a lot of sickness, don't you? Sit down. How long have you been with us, Chris?
6 months, sir.
And you had more time off for sickness than I've had in the past 16 years.
Then you've been very lucky, sir.
If I took time off every time I had a headache...
A bit more than a headache, sir.
Isn't it? I've had 2 more letters of complaint in this morning. That makes 5 over the past month. You're not doing your job as claims investigator, Crisp. If Excelsior Insurance have to pay out, we pay out. If we haven't, we don't. And we say, why not? We don't just sit on claim forms for weeks on end.
Yes, I'm sorry, so I have fallen a bit behind.
If you were as slow as this when you were with Scotland Yard, no wonder our crime figures went sky high. I've been waiting for your report on the Beaumont claim.
The Beaumont claim, sir?
Don't tell me you haven't even looked at it. I sent it to you last week.
Well, I'll fish it out, sir. It's probably waiting its turn.
Waiting its turn? I marked it urgent. This isn't the usual petty run-of-the-mill claim, Crisp. This is big. A man called Beaumont was killed when his car ran off the road and crashed down an embankment. The week before he died, he insured his life with us for
£50,000. £50,000? The week before?
I'm glad you grasped my point. One of my little quirks is that I like to see the ink dry on a policy before paying out on it. The widow's put in a claim and it's got to be investigated. Would it be too much to ask you to give it a bit of priority?
I'll get on to it straight away, Sam.
Good. I want your report and a firm recommendation on my desk first thing tomorrow morning. So perhaps you could defer any headaches you might have planned until a later date.
Claims office, Jordan here. Who? Oh, Harpimer. You're called to Penfield Police Station, old boy.
Oh, thanks.
Not trying to get the old job back, are you?
They'd be as pleased to have me back as Burkitt is to have me here. Hello, Penfield Police.
Yes, sir, can I help you?
Can I speak to Inspector Dunn, please?
Who is he calling, sir?
Tell him ex-Inspector Crisp. You remember me.
One moment, sir. Chief Inspector Dunn.
Oh, Chief Inspector now, is it? Congratulations.
Oh, John Crisp. What a surprise.
I was wondering if I could pop in and see you for a few minutes this afternoon.
Oh, well, what's it about, John? I'm a bit tied up.
Well, don't worry. It's not to tap you for a loan.
Don't put words in my mouth, John.
It's about that car crash at Cobham's Corner the other week.
Yes. He wasn't a relative of yours, was he?
No. I'm claims investigator for Excelsior Insurance. We insure the driver.
Claims investigator, eh? The dizzy heights to which we rise. okay, if you can make it about 2, I'll show you the file.
Right. See you then. Goodbye. Anybody wants me, I'm out on an investigation.
Aha, the game's afoot, as Sherlock Holmes said when he took off his socks. Do you really wish you were back in the force?
No.
Why do you chuck it in?
Personal reasons, which I don't intend to talk about, thank you.
Come in.
Come in.
And there she is, sylph-like Sal, the sinful siren.
Your typist asked me to bring in your letters, Mr. Jordan. I gather you're not speaking to each other.
No, she's gone all sulky because I told her the world wasn't yet ready for her phonetic spelling.
I'll be out the rest of the day, Sal. Beaumont's widow this morning and Penfield Police this afternoon.
Inspector Crisp investigates. The crunch of those size 13s on city pavements is the knell of doom to all wrongdoers.
I shall be in again tomorrow.
Exit the mystery man.
Your letters.
Oh, thank you. Am I right in detecting a slight slackening of rapture in your relationship with our hero, Sal?
I don't think it's any of your business, Mr. Jordan.
His wife's dead, isn't she?
As far as I know.
Hmm. He never talks about it. Shuts up like a clam when I broach the subject. You don't spell insurance with a percentage sign, do you?
No.
No, I thought not. Do you mind returning this letter to my typist with my smug compliments?
Yes?
Mrs. Beaumont?
Yes?
My name's Crisp. Excelsior Insurance. I rang
you. Oh, yes,
you.
Of course. Come in.
Thank you.
To your left.
Thank you very much.
Will you join me in a drink?
Don't touch it, thanks.
Oh? Then I must drink alone. I haven't got over the funeral yet.
Yeah. Rotten things, funerals. The only useful purpose they serve is to make you glad when they're over.
You speak from experience.
Yes. We've got your claim form, Mrs. Beaumont. One or two little points. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry I didn't mention it earlier. On behalf of the company and myself, our deepest sympathy.
Thank you.
Yes, it was fortunate your husband took this policy out when he did.
Fortunate?
For you, I mean. £50,000 is a lot of money.
Even if it was 10 times larger, I would still prefer to have him here alive.
Oh, quite, yes. Right. Now, had your husband done business with us before, Mrs. Beaumont?
I don't know. I don't think so.
How did he come to us? Was it a recommendation?
I don't know. Possibly.
Mm-hmm. I see he was a company director.
He owned a small development company.
What happens to the business now?
It'll fold up. It was a strictly one-man affair.
Mm-hmm.
Without him, it's nothing. I'm going to have another drink. Are you sure I can't tempt you?
No, thank you.
How long have you been off it?
Does it show that much? Just over a year.
Are you feeling all right?
Bit of a headache. You get them from time to time.
Can I get you something?
Well, if you could manage a glass of water. I've got some aspirins.
Soda do?
Yes, yes, of course. Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh. Lucky you weren't in the car with him.
You think so? Do you know what it's like to lose someone close? To be the one who's left behind?
Yes, I do know. Why weren't you with him?
It was a business trip. He was going to buy some land.
Who from?
I don't know. He had to meet a man at Brookley at 8:30 on Monday morning, so he decided to motor up on Sunday evening and spend the night in an hotel.
Which hotel?
Somewhere in Brookley. I don't know the name. He made all his own arrangements. Does it matter? What has it got to do with his insurance policy?
Well, my head office, you know, they got a passion for detail, which I like to gratify if I can. Was he a good driver?
He was a very good driver.
Clean driving license,
huh? He was never in trouble with the police. There were a few parking offences, that's all.
On the night of the accident, had he been drinking?
No. I'm the only drinker in the family.
Was he moody or depressed?
No, he was not moody or depressed.
Well, I'm sorry if I'm upsetting you. Was he in any sort of financial trouble?
Well, if he was, he didn't tell me. Are there many more questions?
No. No, I think that will do for the moment, thank you.
When do I get the money?
Well, I really can't say, madam. That's not my department.
What department are you, then?
Claims investigation.
Investigation. There's nothing wrong, is there?
No. Just routine.
Chief Inspector Donald, you know, Mr. Crisp. And the first door. Go straight in.
Right.
You'll pick him up at your pedal. I'll tell you when. I want the lot on him. As long as that's clear. Bye. Ah, John Crisp.
Hello, George.
I had the surprise of my life when you phoned. Sit down.
Thanks.
You're looking a bit thinner, old boy.
Wish I could return the compliment.
This? I don't get enough exercise. Always stuck behind a desk these days. Well, what do you think of the office?
Yeah, palatial.
Well, it's a lot better than the pokey little hole we shared back in Y Division days, eh?
Yes.
Oh, By the way, John, we were all terribly sorry about your bit of trouble. Rotten luck. I meant to look you up, but you know how it is. The paperwork.
Yeah, yes, I know how it is.
See anything of the other lads?
No, but I expect, like you, they're kept pretty busy.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I got the firelight for you. Fatal accident at Cobham's Corner. Your company insured the driver, then?
Yes, for £50,000.
I bet the premiums for that were a bit on the steep side.
He got a bargain. He only paid one the week before he died. Naturally, we're not too happy about paying out.
I don't blame you. I'd cry my eyes out if it was me. I take it you're wondering if there could be suspicious circumstances.
It would be nice.
I don't think so. It's a nasty bend at Cobham's Corner. It's had its share of accidents.
What happened this time?
Well, we imagine he was going too fast for the turn. Ran off the road, crashed through a fence, and plunged down the embankment. The car burst into flames. It was all but burnt out by the time our chaps arrived.
Who reported the accident?
Oh, no one. There were no witnesses.
Oh.
The area patrol car spotted the flames, but it was nearly all over by then. We called the fire brigade, but it was just a question of them moistening the ashes. You can see from this photograph what was left of the car.
Must have been one hell of a fire.
Yeah, it's a beauty. He was carrying extra petrol, 5 cans of it, on the back seat.
Oh?
Yes. Why do they do it? Why do they approach dangerous corners and sports cars as if they were a Brands Hatch? Anyway, we checked out on the petrol. He was carrying it for an old cabin cruiser he ran down on the coast.
Was he drunk?
Here's the lab report. See for yourself. No trace of alcohol in the blood. Oh, you'd better see this. Photograph of the body. Yes, I felt like several strong drinks myself after I'd seen it.
How could anybody identify that?
Oh, we got his wife to identify articles we found on the body. There wasn't much. Wait a minute. I think we've still got them here. Half a moment. Sergeant?
Yes, sir?
The Cobham Corner crash, the odds and ends we found on the body. Bring them in, would you?
Right you are, sir.
Well, what about nipping over the road for a quick one when we've finished?
I don't touch it now, thanks.
Oh, yes. That's right. I did hear you giving it up. Oh, good for you, old boy. I wish I could. Come in, Sergeant, come in.
This is what you want, sir.
Ah, good man. Hold on a minute. This is all we salvaged, John. One signet ring, initials RFB. The remains of a wristwatch. Must have been a good watch in its day. One metal spectacle case containing a pair of glasses, square lens, black frame. One silver propelling pencil, initial RFB. You smell it?
The stink of a fire. It never goes. The glasses seem to have come out of it pretty well.
Oh, they were in his inside jacket pocket.
Uh-huh.
The force of the crash had thrown him to the side of the car, and his body protected them from the flames to some extent.
What gets me is that nobody saw it happen. A car crashes off the road, bursts into flames, and all but burns itself out, and no one saw it happen.
Well, it's not all that remarkable, is it, Sergeant?
No, sir. It's pretty deserted along that stretch of the road, especially at night. We did find one old boy in a nearby cottage who thought he'd heard a car roaring past at speed about the time of the accident, but he couldn't be certain. And in any case, his impression was that the car was going in the opposite direction.
The perfect witness.
The things you found on the body, I couldn't borrow them for a couple of days, could I?
I don't see why not. The case is closed as far as we're concerned. The widow doesn't want them back.
Tower.
You think there's something fishy about this, then?
You get a feeling about a case, George. You know how it is. I may have left the force, but I still get the feeling.
Well, good luck with it anyway. Now, you'll have to excuse me, John.
Sure. I'm just going. Well, give my love to Ruth.
Yes, I will. She often asks after you. She wanted to visit you, you know, but we thought it better that she didn't. Didn't want to embarrass you.
Yes, you get very embarrassed in prison. Thanks for everything, George.
Bye, Sergeant.
Goodbye, sir.
Anytime, old boy.
Yeah. That, Sergeant, is ex-Inspector Crisp.
So I gathered, sir.
We shared an office once in Y Division.
He seems to think there's something wrong with this accident, sir.
Don't let that disturb you. If he's still up to his past performance, his opinions aren't worth a light.
Mm. Did you know his wife, sir?
Very well. I was with them both the night he killed her.
You're quite sure? Thanks for your trouble anyway. Goodbye.
That's your 14th phone call this morning, old man.
Thank you for keeping count. I was afraid you might have some work to do.
I have, just as soon as I can get hold of the phone. You've commandeered the wretched thing since the minute you came in.
Well, you can have it now. I've finished.
I hope you've got what you wanted after that marathon effort.
No, I haven't. According to Beaumont's wife, he was going to stay the night in an hotel in Brooklyn. Well, I phoned all the likely ones, and none of them seem to have a booking for the night of the crash.
He may not have booked in advance, old son.
It would have been after 11 o'clock by the time he reached Brooklyn. He wouldn't have left it to chance.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Perkins.
Go and find something to do elsewhere, Mr. Jordan. I want to speak to Crisp in private.
Oh, certainly, sir.
The Beaumont claim isn't on my desk as we arranged, Crisp.
No, sir, I'm not yet in a position to give a recommendation.
And when can we anticipate, a headache's accepted, of course, that you will be in that happy position?
Could you give me another couple of days?
No, Chris, I can't. I've just had Mrs. Beaumont on the phone. Unless we settle her claim in full without delay, she'll put the matter into the hands of her solicitors.
Really, sir?
If you hadn't sat on the papers for a week, we'd have had more time to play with. But as it is, we've got to come to a firm decision today. You saw Mrs. Beaumont yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Well?
She seemed okay.
And you saw the police?
They closed the case. Straightforward accident, as far as they're concerned.
Then your recommendation must be that we meet the clerk.
But, Mr. Berkey, there are strong grounds for suspicion.
I don't need an expensive ex-detective to tell me there are strong grounds for suspicion. He died too soon after paying the first premium. But if she takes us to court, we'll need a darn sight more than suspicion. We'll need proof. What proof have you got?
None at the moment, sir.
Well, then?
I'm trying to save the firm £50,000.
The firm can well afford to lose £50,000, Chris, but what it can't afford is to have its good name sullied in the law courts. It's now 11 o'clock. Let me have that file on my desk with your recommendation for payment within the hour.
I am sorry, sir. I cannot do it.
No, it wasn't a request. It was an order.
I've still got to complete my inquiries.
Complete your inquiries? Don't talk rubbish. Give me the file. I'll progress it myself. I don't need your recommendation.
No.
I beg your pardon.
If you take that file, I shall get straight on the phone to our general manager at head office.
You go over my head?
If I had to, sir.
I've covered up for your incompetence for a long while, Crisp. I felt sorry for you. There are limits. You're not the only one who can make threats. I'll give you one more day. If you haven't come up with anything by then, I shall see you kicked out of here a damn sight quicker than you were kicked out of the CID.
Don't tell me he's given you a rise and 3 weeks extra holiday.
Pull the blind, don't we?
The blind?
Please.
What's up?
Migraine.
It's giving me ill.
Oh, light hurts my eyes. You can't see the aspirins on my desk, can you?
By your in tray.
Look out! Give us a cup of water, would you?
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Here.
Tom.
You couldn't even see the aspirin bottle, could you? You were just groping for it.
Well, I'm gone blind, if that's what you're worried about. Soon passes. I've had a bit of a row with Berkey. It's always worse when I get worked up.
Coffee? Oh, why are the blinds down?
Migraine.
Oh.
He says he can't see.
I said no such thing. It's nothing. I get these vivid flashes, that's all. Be all right soon.
You'd better go home and rest.
No, I can't. Burkett's given me until tomorrow morning to come up with something on the Beaumont claim.
You'll have to pay up in the end, so why not pass it through now?
No. This is a wrong claim. I know it. But I can't put my finger on why.
Innocent men can be sent to the gallows on the merest suspicion, old son. But in this firm, we require irrefutable proof before we withhold money from conniving claimants. Proof which, in your case, you have not got. So why not cut your losses, sign the recommendation, and pass it through? Jordan.
Would you come in, please, Jordan?
Yes, Mr. Birkett, right away. Our revered manager commands my presence. Whilst I ingratiate myself with him, you are welcome to use my office for the purpose of illicit sex. But steer clear of my busy Lizzie.
Fool.
Your mother gone back yet, Sal?
No.
Oh, so there's no point in my popping round tonight?
No, not tonight.
Perhaps we could meet somewhere.
I don't like leaving her by herself.
No, I suppose not. Anyway, I should be concentrating on this damn Beaumont thing. There just isn't enough time.
Hello. Not gone off to lunch yet, old boy?
I'm not hungry. What did Birkett want?
Personal matter. Well, actually, I've got to go up to head office tomorrow for an interview, so... spot a promotion.
Oh.
It's all dreadfully hush-hush. If the news leaks out of the stock exchange, our shares will go sky high.
Oh, good luck to you. Think I'd better have a word with the agent who sold Beaumont the policy.
Well, who was that?
Somebody called Ronald Conley.
Oh, Ron Conley, our ace insurance salesman.
Oh, don't know him?
Well, he doesn't come into the office much now. Had a slight contretemps with Mr. Birkett once, so he steers clear.
Sounds the sort of man I could warm to. What's he like?
He's like me. Efficient, intelligent, good-looking, and dashing. Ideal managerial material. But unfortunately, his wife's a drag.
Oh?
Well, I used to know them both quite well at one time. She was a cracker when he married her, but since the kids arrived, she's let herself go.
I don't suppose he can help me much, but... I haven't got any other leads to follow.
It's worth a try. He'll be out in his rounds all day, but you can phone him tonight.
Where's he live?
This side of Penfield. They'll have his address in the post room.
I can't sit here twiddling my thumbs. I'll drive to his house and wait for him before somebody pinches the pool car. Well, if I don't get back in time, best of luck with the interview tomorrow.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much.
Mrs. Conley?
Yes, I'm Mrs. Conley.
We haven't met Mrs. Conley. The name is Crisp, John Crisp. Claims investigator, Excelsior Insurance.
Oh, you want my husband?
Well, at the moment, I just settled for getting out of the rain.
Oh, well, if you don't mind the kitchen.
If it's dry, I'll love it.
Straight through. Oh, I'm sorry about the mess. Oh, hang on, I'll move that dirty washing.
Oh, that's all right.
Washing machine packed up on me halfway through the wash.
Oh.
Are you any good at mending washing machines?
Well,
it's the plug, I think. Could it be the fuse?
Oh. Yeah, well, let's have a look. Have you got a screwdriver?
Would a nail file do?
It's a challenge, I suppose. Oh. I'll put the screws in the ashtray for safety, eh?
Oh, the kettle.
This will cost you a cup of tea, you know.
Oh, I was just going to make one.
Ah, yeah. Could be the fuse. Have you got another one?
Yes, I think so. Somewhere. I do hope you can fix it. Oh, here. Try this.
Oh. Don't you worry. Near my trusty nail file. We won't let you down. Ah.
Have you done it?
Yes, I think so. I'll plug it in. Now, switch on. Does it always run as silent as that?
I don't think it's working.
A remote possibility.
I think an expert is called for. Actually, you know, mending your washing machine wasn't the prime reason for my visit.
Oh, no, no, I'm so sorry.
I want a few words with your husband about a life policy he signed up, a chap called Beaumont. Did he mention it to you by any chance?
Oh, yes, the £50,000 policy.
Yeah.
He told me about it.
Yeah.
And about the beautiful Mrs. Beaumont.
Oh, he was taken by her, was he?
Yes.
What time do you expect your husband back?
I don't.
Sorry?
My husband isn't living here at the moment.
Not living here?
Oh, no doubt when he's fed up of his latest girlfriend, the children and I might see him for a while. Until the next time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was like that.
Well, it's been like that for some time. Your tea.
Thank you. So he was quite taken with Mrs. Beaumont.
Oh, I'd like to see her keep herself beautiful with two kids and a house this size to manage. Gracious, look at the time. They'll be back in 5 minutes and I haven't even started.
Yes, yes, I mustn't keep you. I suppose he wouldn't be living with Mrs. Beaumont by any chance?
What would her husband say to that?
But her husband's dead, didn't you know? He was killed in a car crash the Sunday before last. I'd have thought your husband would have mentioned it to you.
The Sunday before last? That's the day he left home. I haven't seen him since.
Excelsior Insurance.
Mr. Jordan, please.
One moment, please.
Claims office, Jordan here.
John Crisp here. Look, something's turned up. Conley's missing.
What?
Hasn't been home for a couple of weeks. Tell me, did he wear glasses?
Only for reading.
What sort?
Well, as far as I remember, the sort was squarish lenses, heavy black frames. You know, young executive pattern.
Uh-huh. Will you look in my left-hand desk drawer? You'll find a large brown envelope.
Half a mo. Yes. Yeah, I've got it.
There's a pair of glasses in a case inside.
Oh, there's some other stuff as well.
Never mind the other stuff, just the glasses. Can you see the optician's name inside the case?
Yes.
Well, do us a favour, would you? Take them to the optician's and see if he can tell you who he made those glasses for.
Oh, have a heart, old sport. It's a hell of a drive. I wouldn't get back to the office until gone six.
Don't worry. I'll be waiting for you.
I'm just going, Jordan. Oh, it's you, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Where is Jordan?
He's popped out to do a job for me.
While you sit here, what is it, headaches again?
No, sir, I'm remarkably free of them at the moment. I think I could be onto something. I've just returned from Conley's house.
Conley, what were you doing there?
He sold Beaumont the 50,000 policy. I was hoping he could help me, but it seems he hasn't been home since the night of Beaumont's death.
Has Mrs. Conley reported this to the police?
No, sir. Apparently it's not uncommon for him to spend some time away with the latest girlfriend.
I don't think I want to hear unsubstantiated gossip about members of my staff, Chris.
If what I fear has happened, sir, we've no need to worry about the niceties.
Mm-hmm. And what do you fear has happened?
There are some things about the Beaumont accident that jar, sir. He was supposed to be staying the night in a hotel. Yet I can't find a hotel which had his booking. He had an appointment to meet a man who was selling him some land. As far as you know, this man didn't phone his house when Beaumont failed to keep the appointment. They may be small points, but they worry me.
Too small to worry me.
Those cans of petrol in the back of the car were a mite too convenient. The body burnt beyond recognition. It could only be identified from its belongings.
None of this is new.
Oh, agreed, sir. But now we learn that Conley has been missing from home since that night. And I see from his personal file that he was roughly the same height and build as Beaumont.
You're not suggesting it was Conley's body in the car?
Men have been killed for a lot less than 50,000, sir.
If that's the sort of wild theorizing you indulge in, Chris, the CID was well rid of you.
I've checked with sales, officer. We haven't had any post or communication from Conley since the accident.
He often goes for a week or so without contacting the office. He's supposed to send in a daily call report, of course, but he rarely does. He's a good salesman, so I allow him to bend the rules. I'm more tolerant of a success than of a failure, as I'm sure you'll appreciate.
Anyone at home?
Mm. Oh, sorry, sir. I didn't know you were here. Not private, is it?
No, no. Come in, Jordan.
I might be able to justify your confidence in me with proof of my theory, sir. Did you see the optician, Jordan?
I did. He didn't want to talk at first, but natural charm, won as always.
And did he identify the glasses?
In a flash, old son. Recognized them at once. They were specially made for a Mr. Robert Beaumont. You know, the chap who was killed in the crash the other week.
Are you sure?
Oh, he was positive.
I take it this was not the answer you expected, Crisp.
No, sir. You'll have the Beaumont claim on your desk tomorrow morning, with my recommendation that we meet it in full.
Good. A satisfactory ending to an otherwise imperfect day. I just dropped in to say best of luck tomorrow, Jordan.
Good night. Thank you, sir. Good night. You'll look like an aspirin the way you're going on. I was going to crack my joke about making a spectacle of myself at the opticians, but I suppose this isn't the moment.
No. There. That's my recommendation signed. And Burkitt's not going to forget this in a hurry. You know, I can't afford to lose this job. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to make a determined effort.
John?
Yeah?
This interview I'm going to tomorrow.
Yes?
It's for your job, Olson. You're going to be given your cards at the end of the week.
Ah, I see.
I was sworn to secrecy, but I'm not much good at being underhand.
Everything I touch, I muck up.
I'm sorry, old boy. I really am.
I mess things up in a force, you know? I was all right until...
This video was uploaded to That Recap Channel. Please like, comment and subscribe to That Recap Channel. Thank you.
You made me an inspector, and then I found out that I just couldn't cope. Everything got on top of me. His damn headache started, and I began to drink. Did you know that I've been to prison?
Yes, yes, Burkitt told me.
Manslaughter. Driving under the influence. I crashed into a bus, didn't see the damn thing. My wife was with me. She was killed outright. It's funny, I was a good sergeant, but a rotten inspector. I'd found my level. I shouldn't have exceeded it. This job was going to be my big chance, my opportunity to show everybody what I could do. Only, this turned out to be an inspector's job as well.
Forget about it, Sergeant. My car's outside. Let me drive you home. Not brooding, are you, old son?
No, I'm not brooding. I'm thinking. He did look at the glasses, the optician.
Of course he did. Now, you signed the recommendation, so forget it.
I was sure they were Conleys.
Conleys?
Yeah. Same type he wore. He's been missing from home since the accident. The body was burnt beyond recognition.
You didn't think the body in the car was Conley?
Well, why not?
Well, I know where Conley is.
Where?
I'm sorry, old son. I'd rather you didn't ask.
Where is he?
I take it you haven't been round Sarah's flat for a while.
No, she's got her mother staying. Conley.
Afraid so, old sport. It's not your night, is it?
I've known better.
But in any case, they couldn't have been Conley's glasses.
Why not?
Well, have you tried them on? They're like long-range binoculars. Beaumont must have been as blind as a bat to have needed them.
You stop the car.
Eh?
Stop the car. Of course. That's what's been worrying away at the back of my mind ever since I saw them. The thickness of those lenses. Yes.
If Dr. Watson was very, very good, Sherlock Holmes used to explain to him.
You said it yourself. He needed them. He was as blind as a bat without them.
and yet he drove a car at night, at speed, with his glasses in their case in his inside jacket pocket, which is where the police found them.
So, who drove the car?
Perhaps his widow can answer that one.
You're early.
Expecting somebody else, Mrs. Beaumont.
What do you want?
A few questions, please.
Well, it's not convenient now. You'll have to come back tomorrow.
I'm sorry, it's got to be now. Excuse me. Shall we go into the lounge?
How dare you? Get out.
When we've had our chat.
I shall make the strongest possible complaint to your firm.
They're sacking me tomorrow, Mrs. Beaumont, so it really doesn't make any difference. A few questions won't take long.
All right, then. In here. I suppose you'd better sit down. No point in offering you a drink. How about an aspirin and a glass of water?
Not needed at the moment, thank you. There must have been two of you. You couldn't have done it on your own.
Two of us?
One of you drives your husband's car containing his dead body to the scene of the accident. The other follows behind. And after you crash your husband's car over the embankment and set it alight, you both roar back in the second car so that the sorrowing widow would be here to receive the sad news when the police arrived.
If you think you can get out of paying the claim with this fantastic allegation...
I wouldn't have had the nerve to come barging in here unless I had proof, Mrs. Beaumont, and I have irrefutable proof that your husband did not drive himself to Cobham's Corner. Proof that would justify an exhumation order.
An exhumation order?
Let's find out how he died. He certainly didn't die in that car crash.
The police doctor was satisfied.
He had no reason to be suspicious, and the body was very badly burned. The Home Office pathologist would be much more thorough.
What if I withdrew my claim?
Oh, come on, Mrs. Beaumont's gone a bit too far for that.
What would they do to me? What would they charge me with?
Murder, amongst other things.
Murder? Oh, no, it wasn't murder. You don't think we killed him?
What else, then?
He left a note. I kept it in case anything went wrong. Here.
Thank you.
He took his own life.
Suicide.
He hanged himself in the bedroom. He went up quietly and hanged himself. I found him.
Dear Anne, I'm sorry. This is the only way. The business is in a hell of a state and the wolves are closing in. There's 50,000 to come from my insurance. Enough to pay everybody off and to take care of you. Thanks for everything, all my love. Bob. See. Who helped you move the body? Expecting somebody?
No.
Well, you better answer it.
They can come back tomorrow. I don't want to see anyone tonight.
I'll send them away.
No, please.
Oh, it's no bother.
No. Wait here. I'll do it.
Kept you. I was getting worried.
Shh.
Wonderful news, Anne. Crisp has signed the recommendation for payment.
Go away, you idiot.
Who?
She means me, Mr. Birkin.
Crisp.
Yeah. And it's a surprise to see you as you are to see me. Come on in. We're in the lounge. I would never have thought it of you, Mrs. Beaumont. Not with Mr. Birkin.
He is my stepfather.
Oh, I apologize for the innuendo.
What are you doing here, Crisp?
Having a little chat, sir, about the accident you arranged the other Sunday.
Who told him?
He said he could prove that Bob wasn't driving the car.
There are no witnesses to conversation, Crisp, so I suggest you forget all about it. Mrs. Beaumont will deny every word.
I've got the suicide note.
You gave it?
Yes.
That's silly. All right, Crisp, you've got the suicide note, so what can I say? The poor fool killed himself so that Anne could have the 50,000 from his policy, but he overlooked the suicide exclusion clause. No company pays out if the insurer takes his own life. We didn't want him to die in vain, so we faked the accident. If there was one thing I thought I could rely on, it was your inefficiency.
I suppose you'll have to report this.
I'm afraid so.
How did you find out?
His glasses. He wasn't wearing them. He couldn't have seen to drive without them.
Good God, you fool. You stupid, bungling, incompetent fool. He only carried his glasses with him as a standby. He'd been wearing contact lenses for the past 15 months.
Contact lenses?
And he was wearing them when he died. It was in the medical report. If you'd been efficient, you idiot, and read the damn thing, we'd have got away with it.
No. Oh. Your husband and I both seem to have made a mess of things, Mrs. Beaumont. Do you think I could have that glass of water now? In A Second Class Risk by R.D. Wingfield, the part of John Crisp was played by Geoffrey Matthews, Jordan by John Rye, and Anne Beaumont by Penelope Lee. Burkett was Peter Pratt, Pam Conley, Kate Binchy,